tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Fuji Nagasaki, I want some seafood. Mama, shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Fuji Nagasaki, I want some seafood. Mama, flounder and trout, they knock you out. I like hokey mackerel too. I crave butterfish. You don't have oysters, clams will do. I want a seafood dish, bring it over. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Fuji Nagasaki, I want seafood. Mama, shrimpers and rice, they're very nice. I want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Carolina Shout podcast. My name is Ethan Uslin. I'm your host and your piano player. And that was a hit song from 1938 called Hold Tight, I Want Some Seafood, Mama. Excuse me, I probably shouldn't be doing this while I podcast, but I have a plate full of raw oysters and I just can't resist. I apologize if you find this unpleasant to listen to, but please be patient. I only have one oyster left. I'm going to slurp it down and then we can move on. Here we go.
No, please don't eat me.
Good Lord, a talking oyster.
Don't eat me. I can sing.
You can sing?
I sing well for an oyster.
Well, that makes two of us. Let's sing a song. Do you know The Tale of the Oyster by Cole Porter from his 1929 musical 50 Million Frenchmen?
That's my favorite song.
All right, let's do it.
Down by the sea lived a lonesome oyster. Every day getting sadder and moister. He found his home life awfully wet and longed to travel with the upper set. Poor little oyster,
I hate it down here.
Fate was kind to that oyster, we know, when one day the chef from the park casino saw that oyster lying there and said, I'll put you on my bill of fare. Lucky little oyster.
Hooray! Goodbye, ocean! Hello, Park Casino!
See him on his silver platter, watching the queens of fashion chatter, hearing the wives of millionaires discuss their marriages and their love affairs. Thrilled little oyster.
Whoa, did you hear that?
See that bivalve social climber feeding the rich Mrs. Hagenheimer. Think of his joy as he gaily glides down to the middle of her gilded insides.
Whee!
Proud little oyster.
I've really made it to the big time. Yeah, baby.
But after lunch, Mrs. H complains and says to her hostess,
I've got such pains. I came to town on my yacht today, but I think I'd better hurry back to Oyster Bay. I don't feel so well.
Scared little oyster.
What's going on? I don't like this. I don't like it one bit.
Off they go through the troubled tide.
the yacht rolling madly from side to side. They're tossed about till that fine young oyster finds that it's time he should quit his cloister, and up comes the oyster.
Mrs. Hagenheimer.
Back once more where he started from, he murmured,
I haven't a single qualm, for I've had a taste of society, and society has had a taste of me.
Wise little oyster.
Thanks. Yeah, there's no place like home, that's for sure. So nice to be back here in the ocean. Hello, crab. Hello, clam. Hello, catfish. Hello, dogfish. It's so nice to see you again. I just had the most wild adventure. Let me tell you about it. You see, I was on a silver platter at the park casino. And this lady, Mrs. Hagenheimer, well, she swallowed me whole, and then I went on her yacht. No, I'm not making this up. It's totally true.
So that was The Tale of the Oyster by Cole Porter. It was written for the musical 50 Million Frenchmen in 1929, but after opening night, a prominent critic wrote that that song had no virtue whatsoever in that it should be cut immediately from the show, and then it was cut from the show immediately.
What a shame!
I agree, Oyster. Sorry about that. I don't think anyone's going to miss you, though. Your singing wasn't that great. Now I'm all out of oysters, but I do have the music for something called The Oyster Rag right here in front of me. This was composed in 1910 by Tom Lyle. I could not find much information about Tom Lyle at all. I could only find the names of two other pieces that he composed, and one of them was the Cleveland Industrial Exposition March and Two-Step, which was written for that event in 1909. So maybe Tom Lyle was from Cleveland. I don't know. Just a guess. And his total output is so small, just three pieces total that I know of. So I have a theory. You see, if you listen to this podcast, you would notice that on several occasions when I have read a composer's biography, that composer ends up dying prematurely of tuberculosis. It was an epidemic during the ragtime period. Very tragic. And since Tom Lyle only composed three rags, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he went to the Cleveland Industrial Exposition in 1909, where there were lots of crowds, lots of germs going around, and maybe he was online for a hot dog when somebody coughed on him, and boom, he got tuberculosis. Then he knew his days were numbered, so he channeled all his energy into the oyster rag, his final swan song. Now, I took some creative license there with Tom Lyle's biography. I certainly hope it's not true and that he lived a long, happy life. But I have no clue. All I can do is play the oyster rag, which I believe is quite a pearl.
Thank you.
So that was The Oyster Rag by the mysterious Tom Lyle, who in his prime was kidnapped by aliens, never seen again. Guess I revised my theory. Still just a theory, though. If I hear anything more concrete, you'll be the first to know. And in the meantime, I've got some more mollusk music for you. I fished up something called The Dance of the Oyster and the Clam. It's from 1898 by a composer named Edward A. Dicey. And guess what? I have absolutely no biographical information about Mr. Dicey. And I think we've had enough of my baseless biographical speculations today, so instead I'm going to tell you about the sheet music cover. It has a wonderful illustration of an oyster and a clam, both with human faces, dancing on the ocean floor. It's very charming. And the dance of the oyster and the clam is described on the cover as a sand dance. I don't really know what a sand dance is, but it's got a Cuban habanera feel to it. So I'm going to really bring out those Latin rhythms. If you have any clam shells lying around your house, now's the time to use them as castanets. I'd like to dedicate this performance to my friend Ed, also known as Captain Clam, also known as the Clam Whisperer. Ed owns and operates a clam farm up on the Long Island Sound. I had the pleasure of visiting him last summer, and he took me out on his clam-catching boat. And needless to say, I was happy as a clam. And I really mean it because those clams were happy. They had no idea that steaming pots of white wine and garlic awaited them. I also had the privilege of watching Ed's clam counting and sorting machine in action. That's right, Ed invented a clam counting and sorting machine. You dump some clams into the machine, and they come out on the other side and fall into different buckets corresponding to clam size. And the digital counter tells you how many clams you have. Basically, it works just like those coin sorters at the bank, only with clams. It was a sight to behold. So, Ed, thank you for the good times on your boat. I will reminisce about it in my mind as I now perform Edward A. Dicey's obscure 1898 sand dance entitled The Dance of the Oyster and the Clam.
Thank you.
Olay. Excuse me, let me take the rose from out of my mouth. So that was the Dance of the Oyster and the Clam, a sand dance from 1898. Now you know what a sand dance may sound like. And that tune was very popular among the more discerning mollusks, bivalves, crustaceans, and barnacles. Gastropods, too. Which reminds me, it's time to wrap up this gastropodcast. Kate, let's roll the credits. The Carolina Shout is recorded in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the home of Ethan and Kate Uselin. Ethan plays the piano and talks. Kate does the editing and technical things. Thanks to Captain Clam for taking me out on his clam boat and inspiring me to devote an entire episode to seafood. Thanks to Tom Lyle and Edward A. Dicey, composers of The Oyster Rag and The Dance of the Oyster and the Clam, respectively. I hope to find more biographical information about those guys, and if I do, I'll report back to you. But honestly, it's been a struggle. I Googled, I Yahooed, I Alta Vista'd, I climbed a mountain, and when I finally reached the summit, I found a wise yogi sitting in the lotus position, and I asked him about Tom Lyle and or Edward A. Dicey, and well, no dice, so I had to climb back down the mountain with more questions than answers. I then asked my podiatrist, my rabbi, my 8th grade social studies teacher, and needless to say, they were all stumped. I even put a message in a bottle with my email address on it, and I threw it into the Long Island Sound, and I only heard back from a few mischievous mollusks who tried to sell me medicinal sand. But I'm confident I'll get some good information soon, so please hold tight, Flujanagasak.